Grace to you and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Back in April, after former First Lady Barbara Bush died, the Washington Post ran an article by a woman who had been the director of a children's home in Washington, D.C. called Grandma's Place. Grandma Place's mission was to care for children and infants who suffered from HIV and AIDS. And yesterday, while I was reading tributes to President George Bush, I saw a link to that article again and clicked on it. The article reminds us of a history that many of us may remember, that in the early days of the AIDS epidemic, fear was rampant. The disease was widely thought to be a judgment on people's behavior or sexuality or lifestyle, and no one knew much about it, other than it affected people, well, who seemed to, in some ways, be disliked already. Few people understood how the disease worked, which compounded the fear, and in the grip of fear, people do not always display courage and compassion. Landlords refused to rent to Grandma's Place. The telephone company balked at installing telephone lines, and after the houses were purchased, the addresses were kept secret in order to keep violence at bay. But one day, the director recalled, a government motorcade pulled up and in came Mrs. Bush, who played on the floor with the children and who picked up one of the little babies who was dying. Someone took a picture. She met with a group of gay men who were suffering from the disease, and one of them asked her for a hug. And she gave him one. And the visit and the hug and the picture, well, it became famous. It didn't change policy immediately. That would take a lot more hard work and activism from far more people. But those who were there say that it changed things for them. And it began a small birth of compassion in the midst of fear and hate. As I studied that photo of Mrs. Bush with that little baby yesterday, I realized that I was looking at a perfect image, an illustration of what it is that Jesus is talking about in the 21st chapter of Luke. It's an image of what it means to wait and be God's people in the midst of a crisis. An image of the way of life God invites us to as we await Jesus' return. And waiting for his return in the midst of a crisis is what the first Sunday of Advent every year is all about. Not the cute baby born in a manger yet, but anxious, eager expectation, hope-filled expectation for the one who will come again at the end of time and put all things to right. In the 21st chapter of Luke's gospel, Jesus tells us that this will look like a crisis. In fact, as he speaks, he is actually talking about a very specific crisis that his people who first heard this gospel would have known. He was talking about the invasion of Jerusalem in 70 AD when Rome came with all its legions and flattened the city and destroyed most of its people. But as Jesus continues talking, and this is where our passage from today picks up, as Jesus continues talking, the view that he presents of tragedy and crisis looks increasingly cosmic. There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and the sea will be stirred up, and people will be terrified. They will faint with fear. They will be tempted to cope with booze and mindless distractions. Could have been the Jerusalem crisis, but the church picks this up and reads it year after year because the fact is it could be any crisis. But in the midst of the description falling stars and restless waves, there's an invitation. Jesus asks his people to be different than those who would be weighed down with drunkenness or dissipation. They instead are to use the crisis as an opportunity to seek his presence. While everyone else is cowering, God's people are to stand up and raise their heads, confident because he is returning. Often people read this passage and take it as a prophecy of things that are to come, what's going to be like at the very end of the world. And they read the signs that Jesus describes as markers of the end of the world. Signs that might tell us, be clues as to whether, in fact, the world is finally ending. But the fact of the matter, at least I have come to believe, is that this description of crisis, well, it could fit any crisis that might happen before he returns. We don't have to make this passage about the end of the world because worlds end around us all the time. In 1541, Martin Luther, in Advent, preached on this passage. And when he looked out from his protected pulpit, he saw corrupt church leaders, greedy rulers, and faithless people, war and violence all around, and he was fairly certain that any day the earth might dissolve. But here we are 477 years later. Worlds shattered for those who had AIDS in the 1980s, in the 1990s. They continue to shatter today, though the stigma is quieter and the medicine is better. Worlds end. For some years now, this world has been in the grip of a refugee and migrant crisis sparked by war and climate and poverty. Worlds are shaken. For people in Anchorage, Alaska, that literally happened just a couple of days ago. Maybe you know what it is for worlds to end and for crises to come, and for your whole life to seem as though the universe is changing, the stars shaking, and the sea roaring. The question that the first Sunday of Advent poses to us is this: what kind of people will we be in the midst of the crisis? Will we be fearful? Will we be hateful? Will we use crisis as an excuse to become judgmental of others? Will we project our judgments onto God, confident that God will co-sign on all of our fears and our hardness of heart? Or will we be prayerful and watchful and hopeful? Will we be ready for the coming of the Son of Man? Which is to say, will we be ready to serve him now as he appears to us in our neighbor? Will we be ready to go to the grandma's places of our own time, pick up the baby, and offer hugs? What kind of people will we be? That's the question of the first Sunday of Advent. But the promise of the first Sunday of Advent is this: Jesus comes to his people in the midst of the crisis. He promises that when scary things happen, he will show up. It's his presence that converts judgment into redemption. His promise, his presence that means that he is here to offer power and love and grace and reason to keep on giving. To make this promise, Jesus offers us a parable. Look at the fig trees, he says, and all the trees. When they put forth leaves, you know that summer is near. The power of this parable might elude us. In Scripture, the image of a fig tree is usually a sign that someone is in deep trouble. As an Old Testament professor of mine used to say, if you're ever reading the Bible and you encounter a prophet wielding a fruit metaphor, watch out. But Jesus here picks up the fig tree fruit metaphor and turns it on its head. Instead of using the fig tree as the threat of judgment, he uses it as the promise of his kingdom. And if Jesus is going to show up, it's going to be hard to be judgmental. Because the reality is, when he shows up, he could be judgmental of us. He has that right, you might say, as Son of God. But instead, when he shows up with mercy. He promises to take care of us so that we don't have to worry. And so that the only thing left is to care for our neighbors who need us most. Think of Mrs. Bush, picking up a sick baby, hugging a gay man while the rest of the nation was cowering in fear and trying to deal with its homophobia. That's Advent. That's the way to prepare for Jesus' return then and now. We have many such opportunities right now, places and situations where we could use the logic of judgment and wrath. We could, but instead, we can use the logic of justice and mercy. See a family with squalling children in the grocery store? There's a choice right there between judgment and mercy. Oh, I've got an amen. Yeah, we've all been there. See a family with squalling children in the grocery store? That's a choice between judgment and mercy. See a region of our country affected by profound disaster? Florida, North Carolina, Alaska? Okay. So maybe they didn't vote for your preferred presidential candidate in 2016. They need your help. Think of the situation at our border, where those who would seek asylum, their numbers are growing. Think of any place where worlds are ending, where tensions are rising, where fear is growing. And then think of the fig tree and all the trees. And think of Jesus, who is very near. Amen.